The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you'd have joined us one more time for this lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like Jesus. It is good to have you with us as we go through one more portion of the book of Luke today. And today we'll be finishing chapter 1, the last segment of the chapter 1 of Luke. It has been a very interesting and important journey so far. We are on our third week of studying Luke. And I don't know about you, but I was very blessed of reflecting and meditating on this first chapter. For sure, we could spend more time, unpack more ideas, reflect more in a few aspects, but that's what the Bible is all about. You can learn things new every single day. You can understand in a different way because our experience, our life shapes our understanding of the Bible, and the Bible speaks to us based on where we are. It's a live word, a live document that is relevant to us today. As an apprentice of Jesus Christ, we have a motto, and the motto of Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. We are trying to learn to live this life as Jesus' apprentice, learning to love him, learn to love our neighbor and love ourselves so we can love and serve like Jesus did. That is so powerful, and we need to keep that in mind. Well, every week we have a Bible verse of the portion that we're studying from Luke, and we have a memory verse from that. And the memory verse for this week is Luke 1:68. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. Can you repeat after me? Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. That is our memory verse for today. And we'll be studying this verse today because that is part of this song of praise that Zechariah shares after the circumcision of his child. It's powerful, it's beautiful, and I want to go and reflect. I tell you, we could spend a few days or even weeks here on this song. There's so much, many ideas, so rich, but we'll have just today. So maybe I'll just open the window and then you can later go outside and explore some of the images and ideas that I'll share with you. But before we go there, I want to give you a moment to prepare yourself to come into God's presence. The book of Hebrews presents this invitation. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. God is inviting us to come to him. God is inviting us to be in his presence. We don't need to be fearful. We can come boldly to God's throne. And that is the reason we are here, to experience this powerful and wonderful God that can make the difference in our lives. And he needs to be a reality for you every single day. And you need to be in his presence right now. For sure, we always under his presence. He's always with us. But we need to take times and moments where we can come just you and him, and have a fellowship. Enjoy each other's presence. Have a conversation. And every time we come to him, every visit, we'll be blessed by his presence and for the mercy and grace that he has reserved for us. I want to give you 1 minute for you to prepare yourself for this encounter with him. I want to give you 1 minute for you to create this atmosphere, this environment where you can pay attention to the voice of God through his Bible, through his word, and be in his presence and be blessed by him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for being available to us every moment. It is good to be with you, feel your presence, and receive the blessing of your grace and mercy. Bless us, Lord, as we walk through this portion today of the Gospel of Luke. Speak to our hearts. Impress our soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today we'll be reading from verses 67 to verse 80 from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And before I read, let me ask you a question. Since we are finishing the chapter today, who was the most important figure, person on this first chapter? We have a few, right? Yeah, for sure. We have Luke. We have Theophilus. We have, I think Harold was mentioned, but yeah, just to give us an idea. But we have Zachariah, Elizabeth, better saying. Isabel is in Portuguese. Elizabeth. We had Mary, right? The birth of John yesterday. So who's the most important figure on chapter 1 of Luke? In my humble opinion, the most important and appears the most, and it makes the difference in the scenes. Oh, we had Gabriel as well, right? But going back here, but the most important person that appears and makes all the difference is the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know this, but the Holy Spirit is point out every single scene of this journey. He's there changing, empowering, taking control. Sometimes he looks like that he's behind the curtains, the veil, and then he appears and goes back to the backstage. He appears, make the difference, and goes back to the backstage, right? But the reality, he's here. And he's here now as we open this account. And he's here with you. The Holy Spirit has been working in your life even before the day of your birth. and he has been working all along. Sometimes he comes from the backstage and reveals to you. Sometimes you can identify him, sometimes not. But he's there all the time. And I think that's one of the beauties of the Gospel of Luke, because the Gospel of Luke points out to the power and manifestation and the intervention of the Holy Spirit throughout our lives. And we need to be aware of that. And more than aware, we need to make ourselves available for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is described as the wind. The Holy Spirit that's described as a dove. So if you want to see a dove, where you go? If you want to experience the wind, where you go? You cannot stay inside of the house, inside of a home or room to experience the wind or the dove. You need to go to the encounter of them where they are. If you want to experience the wind, go outside. And if you want to have more experience, go climb a mountain. My point is, yes, the Holy Spirit is there all over you, all the time. But if you take your responsibility in going after, positioning yourself so you can experience more the Holy Spirit, that is powerful. I know in my religious tradition, we believe in the Holy Spirit as a person. We believe on His power, His role, but we are somehow afraid to talk about Him or even to have an experience with Him, afraid of pseudo experience and manifestations and miracles and all that. So we don't put so much emphasis on Him or an experience with Him, but somehow the Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, points out the action of the Holy Spirit, is the Gospel that talks more about the Holy Spirit, and we need to be aware of the Holy Spirit and join hands with Him and experience Him, because the Holy Spirit is everything for us. He's the one that gives the power for our heart to beat. He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that applies the salvation on our hearts. He's the one that convinces us from sin. He's the one that helps us to understand the Word of God. He was the one that transformed our lives, our behavior, our thoughts and feelings. You know what? The Holy Spirit is everything for our transformation into God's character. So we need to pay more attention and be aware of Him. And here we have the Holy Spirit again. So Luke 1 verse 67. Then his father, interesting. Now Zechariah is referred as, not as the priest, but the father now of the baby John. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Wow. Again, Holy Spirit here, coming. He took, and he will, Elizabeth was full of the Holy Spirit. Now it's Zechariah. And here's a point that I want to make. I know I have touched that before, but I think it's worth the mention. The process of this partnership between the Holy Spirit and humankind, between God and humans. Some people may say or understand that at this point, when Zechariah was filled of the Holy Spirit, every single word that he said was not his words, but was the words of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah was just a vessel, and the Holy Spirit is the one manifesting, saying, and doing his work. But I don't believe that is the case. I think it's more a partnership. I do believe that what we see here is result of 9 months where Zechariah was not able to hear or speak because he was doubtful of the words of Gabriel, of the birth of the baby. And during this time, he went back to the Hebrew Bible to understand the prophecies, to understand the theology and what was supposed to happen. And what we see here on this song of praise, this psalm, is a beautiful theology, a beautiful investigation, and a personal experience of Zechariah with the history of the people of Israel with the prophets of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew Bible, and with what is happening at that moment. I do believe that the Holy Spirit was enlightening him, inspiring him in a sense of remembering what he studied, helping him to find the proper words to describe what he's trying to convey. The Holy Spirit is there helping him to structure in a nice way. And I tell you, we could spend a week or more just on this song because there's so much here. Zechariah goes and uses direct quotations from the Hebrew Bible. Sometimes he refers to that idea found in the Hebrew Bible. He mentions the idea of Exodus, the Jubilee Sabbath. He mentions the idea of the covenant, the covenant with Abraham, with David, the Messiah, the Anointed One. There's so much here that we could unpackage. Well, we have a few more minutes and I'm getting longer on this introduction. But what I see is the Holy Spirit in partnership for humankind, right? The human making themselves available to be used, doing their part, and the Holy Spirit assisting them in this process and the process of deliver. I know if you maybe grab a commentary on the book of the Luke, some scholars would even question, I don't think Zechariah was able to say these words. Luke wrote those songs like 40 years after that. It's impossible he can capture word by word. Probably that was Luke's interpretation or Luke's words. It's not Zechariah. Some would suggest, no, it's not Luke's because there's a few words that Luke doesn't use in other parts of his book, and start questioning the word of God. And at the end of the day, for me, more important this question is the message of this song. And I want to ask you to pay attention to that. And don't let those other elements that are around to take you from the account. Personally, I believe that those are words of Zechariah that were used by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was able to provide guidance into Luke to register those words later on. But even though if that's not the case, that I do believe, I think the key point is the message. And let's go now to the message. Verse 68, that is our memory verse. Praise the Lord. He starts with praising. The first words that come out of Zechariah's mouth after he spends 9 months unable to speak are words of praise. What would be your first words if you are not be able to speak for some time? What are your first words every single morning? What are your first words to the people around you? Zechariah decides to use his first words to praise God. So that's the reason some scholars consider this part as a song, as a psalm of worship. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He's telling his journey, his experience that he started with the people of Israel. And for Luke, that is important. Let me tell the story for you. Remember, Luke is writing for people that haven't heard about Jesus, people that are learning about Jesus, or people that just accept Jesus. So he's telling this story, say, hey, the story started with Israel, this covenant, right? And this covenant has traces back to Eden, the Garden of Eden. But somehow Luke here starts through the song with the people of Israel, Abraham, David, and he goes to all humanity because Luke is the most inclusive of the Gospels. So praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Why praise him? He gives two reasons. Two verbs of God's action, because he has visited and redeemed his people. Let's pay attention quickly here, because he has visited his people. The word here, the idea is to his exam. He come close to exam, to try to understand and make the difference. This word visit, this verb is used again in Matthew 25. Do you remember Matthew 25, that moment of the judgment where God is separating the two groups, one to the right, one to the left, right? And maybe I want to recommend you to read this chapter later, Matthew 25. And there in Matthew 25, God is saying, I want to invite you to be on my right, those that have provide poor food for the poor, visit those that were in prison, that provide to the needs, right? You see that word visit? Visit those in prison, visit those that were in need. That's the same word there. So those that are saved are those that visit, go there, examine, and make the difference, bring grace. And interesting that according to Matthew 25, those that are not saved is those that didn't visit, didn't came close and save and help the situation. Those that didn't pay attention to the needs of people. So what you're saying here is that God is present, visiting his people to save his people, to restore his people. When God comes to visit his people, is to provide grace. I know sometimes people highlight when God comes to visit, to punish, brings judgment. But what we see, the main account of the Bible is God visiting to save. God being present to save. God that understands the situation. So God comes, and he visits and redeems his people. And the word and the structure here brings back to Exodus. Because even the verb that he's using has this idea of continual visitation and continual redemption. So for sure, he's connecting with Exodus. God was there. He visited with Moses, and he delivered the people of Israel. Now he's visiting again through the birth of the Messiah, and he will redeem. And I can tell you that God is visiting you today to redeem you and redeem from everything that is holding you back. The redemption of God is a redemption not of only the sins, and we'll see that on this song, but the redemption of anything that is holding you of reflecting and experience the image of God. God is the rescue worker to save us from the penalty of sin, but to recover what was lost from the image of God. So let's continue. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Zacharias makes connections, bridges between the Hebrew Bible, the prophets, the prophecies with King David to the reality that was happening at his moment. Everything that we are waiting for 4,000 years, Zacharias said, is happening. And happening right now. He understood what was happening, or the birth of his baby and the birth of baby Jesus, what was coming. Maybe he didn't grasp all the details or what the birth or the mission entailed, but he had the big picture. God coming to save us. And verse 71, now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham, the covenant idea. And here's a point that I want to bring out. He has this understanding that God will come with salvation, a salvation that involves deliverance from oppression. And the final oppression will happen at the second coming, but today we can live and experience delivered from this oppression. And Jesus came to do that. He delivered people from the oppression. He made justice. He made justice. Right? I think that is so crucial. Salvation includes making justice. He fed the poor. He healed those that were slaves of a disease. He broke the gap between sinners and saints. He was there valuing women, foreigners, slaves. So those oppressions that society brought, Jesus was breaking. And that is part of the salvation process that sometimes we miss. But here, the first part of the song, we see him having the big picture, connecting the Hebrew Bible, the prophets, to reality and what was happening at that moment. Verse 74, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and rightness for as long as we live. So he connects with Exodus, the Jubilee Sabbath, this recovery so we can connect with God. And sometimes we need to be rescued from ourselves, rescued from the oppression, rescued from our sins, so we can be free. And free not just from shackles of sin, but free from the shackles of life, so we can have an open experience with God. And then verse 76 is a major change here. Is maybe he's holding his son on his arms and he says, "And you, my little son John, you'll be called the prophet of the Most High." You see, it doesn't go to that argument that they had in the previous portion that we studied yesterday. What is the name of the baby? It will be John, it will be Zachary. No, no. The name of the baby will be called the prophet of the Most High. The real name is he's a servant of God. And a servant of the baby that is supposed to be born, the Most High. Because you prepared the way for the Lord. He understands the mission that John has is to prepare the heart of people to meet the Lord. What Zechariah, Isaiah had prophesied, Malachi had prophesied. Now his baby is coming. He's coming to prepare the way. And I tell you, we need to prepare the way for people to know Jesus. We need to be servants of the Most High. Verse 77, you will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. You see, he points out the salvation of sin, not just of the social elements, but the salvation of sin. Because God tenders mercy. And here comes a very beautiful picture as God is the light, is the sun. Because God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Humankind had been living over the darkness of sin without hope. Animals were used to deal with sin, but they didn't resolve the problem of sin. Humankind was under these misconceived ideas about God, the darkness about the understanding of God, the darkness of sin, the darkness of oppression, the darkness of racism, the darkness of groups and divisions and fights. But the light, the baby that was supposed to be born, Jesus Christ, would shine to bring the path of peace, the path of shalom, irene in Greek, the shalom, the fulfillment of life, spiritual life, social life, health, fulfillment of everything. That is the baby, Jesus. So Jesus is the light, and he needs to be the light for you. Somehow, he was the light for Zechariah, and he had his eyes opened, but also his mouth and ears. And now the account finishes. John grew up and became strong in spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Somehow, Luke focused so much on the birth of John, giving the details, but he summarized in a few lines his ministry or his growing up years to this point to prepare ourselves to Jesus, because the focus is not John. The focus is the Most High, the one that will forgive our sins, the one that will provide salvation, the one that will bring light, Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that Jesus must be the one that visits with you and redeems you, the one that brings salvation, forgiveness, restoration, the one that brings light. And because we are apprentices of Jesus, because we are trying to learn how to love, serve, and be like Jesus, we need to visit with people. Visit to understand and bring grace and help to redeem them. We need to be the one preparing the way for them to so they can meet Jesus. We need to be the one that will bring salvation to them through Jesus Christ. We need to be the light, making the difference, because we are reflecting Jesus. In the Sermon of the Mountain, Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." And we are light only if we are Jesus' apprentices, reflecting his light to others. That is one of the key messages of Luke and this song. And I pray that you have this experience with God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will reflect Jesus as the light, visiting with people, redeeming people from their shackles of social injustice, but also from the oppression of sin. Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, because the Holy Spirit is in our lives, guiding us, helping us, and leading us. Lord, I pray that we will receive and accept your visit and accept your redemption. Be the light for our lives. But I pray that through the Holy Spirit, we will be able to visit others, redeem others, and be the light for others, so they can experience the shalom, the peace. So they can experience the Prince of Peace. Be with us, forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's go to our questions. Questions of reflection. Questions for you to ponder and consider based on what we study today on these verses. There's many widows here I mentioned. There's so much to unpack, but I hope you could grasp some of the main ideas. And here's some questions for your reflection. What's happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example or God's example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Powerful and important questions for our reflection. So maybe you can try to journal or meditate on that and let the Holy Spirit work in your life. I don't know about you, but this journey in the book of Luke has been impacting my life. I have shared with some friends that the one that is most blessed by this journey, it has been me. And I praise God for that. I can see the Holy Spirit working and shaping me as Jesus' apprentice. And I pray that He will do the same with you. May God bless you. I hope you can join us tomorrow as we continue our journey. Now, chapter 2. Be the light. Visit with people and redeem people. May God bless you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.